Weekend with Maslow, Part 6, from the Abraham Maslow Audio Collection. This recording was made in January 1966 at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California. Note that short gaps exist in this program as a result of tape changes conducted by hand during the event. Recordings from the Maslow Audio Collection are available from abrahammaslow.com.
See how even in the mouth of a sensitive man, the culture breaks in on us, and he talks about a big name. I'm not a big name, I'm a person. And we have to watch ourselves, because this gets in on us all the time. Bernie, I thought we might jump off from that little conversation that we had. Why don't we?
The fact that he had had an 8 months fellowship down in La Jolla, and during that time he was and I worked with the LSD a lot, and was on a research project for a couple of years, and very often people in the height of these glorious experiences said, how come I got this, or what did I do with this, or am I worthy of this? And for me, it struck me as a very interesting aspect of our culture, especially one of these sayings that says, it's too good to be true. So we never say it's too bad to be true, but somehow it's good to be true. And so we were discussing a little bit about this and the implications of that.
For us psychologists, the temptation is first, to deal with this sort of as a psychopathological thing, which it can be. If too many people can't take good luck, or they can't take good fortune, because they literally, deep down, don't feel worthy. And if you give them the good fortune, then it brings out the sense of unworthiness, and they'll flee from the situation. The way in which, let's say, a girl who doesn't feel lovable or love-worthy, and somebody comes along and loves her, and she says, something's wrong with him. And she may flee the situation. But waving that aside and going, I thought that it would be interesting to speak about this at the ontological level, at this more species-wide, more eternal level. And especially since I had another such experience on the plane coming here, that Mike and I were talking about, that if you don't have that experience, then you're missing something. That's one way to talk about it. Second place, if you don't have that experience, then there's the very great danger of falling prey to the sin of pride, the sinful pride, hubris, of the kind of thing that... I remember when this first hit me was in a square in Cuernavaca, as I sat there with the busloads of American tourists disgorging, and the square would be flooded, and then all the little boys and the poor Indian ladies and so on would be selling things. And a fair number of the Americans behaved very, very badly, a very snotty way, very superior, very contemptuous, and so on. As if the barefooted lady enjoyed being barefooted, as if she preferred it and had chosen that. And it didn't look good so frequently. And then the thought was clear. These women, they were mostly women. The men were nicer for some reason. Most of these women didn't appreciate their good fortune, and they weren't humble about the fact that they didn't deserve their good clothes and the wealth and the buses that brought them there and so on. They weren't responsible for the history of the United States, or that oil was discovered in Pennsylvania, or that there's a lot of coal, or that there were industrial geniuses who made a lot of wealth. And they had nothing to do with all these inventions, and they had nothing to do with fighting the revolution and Jefferson and Franklin and so on. Here they were, the heirs of people who had sweated and who had bled and who had vision, and they just took, somehow, what horrified me was they felt they deserved it. See, in that sense, I meant. deserving. They should have felt, I don't deserve it, how fortunate I am. The acute appreciation of one's good luck. If we sit here in this beautiful place, so I had this sense this morning of wake up to the surf and then come out to the sunshine, and then somehow everybody looks beautiful this morning. I was wondering whether somebody had slipped me some psychedelic drug or not. The women look beautiful, and the men look handsome, and there are even these beautiful children, did you notice? And then I looked out, and this was all arranged. I'm sure there were some whales out there spouting. And in a certain sense, I think it would do us good. And also, what I was trying to say to Bernie is it would make us more poignantly aware of our good fortune. If we realized we are not in a mud hole in Vietnam, we are here. Or we're not Indian peasants who are sweating for a few grains of rice. We're fortunate, we're lucky, and we, in that sense, we don't deserve it. Well, if you feel that, without any impugning yourself, without being masochistic about it, then you can get the poignant sense of the here and now experience in the same way as if you were just about to die, let's say, and you looked around, supposing you had to die in 1 hour, then how precious everything would look and how intense. Well, I think this awareness of our good fortune and also the humility that comes with the religious people would say the sense of grace, which carries with it also the implication of you don't really deserve it. It's given to you somehow. It's just good fortune, good luck. You've been picked out for these blessings. Why? You didn't earn it altogether. I didn't make that beautiful ocean. I just appreciate it. Then if you have that sense, then also there comes with it what I think is ontologically necessary, what all the religions have felt to be necessary, is a certain sense of thanksgiving, of gratitude, appreciation.